It is now 21 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock, and I'm joined, as I've been telling you, by current state auditor and gubernatorial candidate, Mr. Rob Sand.
You betcha.
How are you this morning?
I'm great.
It's a pleasure to see you.
Yeah, you too. It's been a minute.
It has been a minute. You know what? I was looking, and I think you and I first started visiting on air in 2021.
If you say so, I believe you.
That was and we have a whole number of conversations dating back to this.
Yeah, so.
How's the campaign going?
Great. I don't know, maybe 60 town halls into 100 public town halls. So we're going to be in the area today. And basically these town halls, we bring people in, have them raise their hand for what party they're in and ask everyone to applaud their neighbors that are in the other political parties.
Yeah.
Have folks sing the first verse of America the Beautiful together, which I think is a wonderful way for us to say right wing, left wing, one bird. You know, we can work together.
Yeah.
And then when we get to Q&A, I always hand the microphone to somebody who said they were a Republican. I really mean it when I say that we need to be working together and thinking together. And when you do that, we get to better outcomes than if all the people making the decision think the same way.
What's the number one question you get at town halls?
Oh, I get a lot of questions on education, a lot of questions on water quality and cancer, and on high costs that people are paying for all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to jump into that.
Shoot.
That's right in there where I was wanting to go. Cancer is number one for me.
Yeah.
So I got to be honest with you, Rob. It's a little frustrating to me because I think it's pretty obvious that we have a cancer problem. Obviously, what, second in the nation?
Yep.
Fastest rising rates for a number of different issues. I don't think it takes – I mean, it takes a lot of study, but I think we know why that takes place.
Well, there's a lot of reasons why.
Yeah.
You must be focused on one of them.
Well, radon is one you hear a lot of.
Yep.
We have radon.
We do.
We've always had radon.
We have.
We have always had radon.
We have.
Yes.
But here's why radon is still important.
Yep.
And it does make a difference even though we've always had it.
Mm-hmm.
We have not always had the kind of home construction that we have had over the last 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so as the homes that we have built have gotten better insulated, and as the basements that we build have become basements you actually want to spend time in as opposed to being scared of,
right?
You know, then that radon exposure does increase in a way that you didn't get that level of concentration, 50, 70, 80, 90, 100 years ago. So that is a piece of it.
Number two reason for lung cancer is radon.
Correct.
And Iowa is extremely high.
And it's the number one killer, too. So if you get out of all the different kinds of cancer, lung's the one that where if you get lung cancer, that's tough as it gets for outlook.
Right. That and pancreatic cancer.
Is that right?
Yeah, pancreatic cancer is 90% or more mortality rate. Oof. So put that one in your – but I think, honestly, I think a lot of it is what we do with our farm chemicals and our water.
Yeah, there's no doubt nitrates cause cancer.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I think – and there is a solution to that, I think. I'm not smart enough to figure that out necessarily, but I think there is a solution.
Well – since I'm running for governor, it's the job I'm asking for. I have put a bunch of time in to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm not going to tell you it's a question of intelligence, but it is a question of paying attention, putting time in. And when you're asking to be governor, you better put the time in to actually really study it. So what I've come up with, what I'm proposing is a few different things. Number one, we should not be given immunity to folks that make companies that make chemicals that make us sick. That's a no-brainer to me.
Yep.
I read the bill on it because I always want to read something before I make up my mind, but it wasn't any different than I expected it was going to be. You shouldn't do that. The biggest thing that we want to be doing here is putting together a water quality solution that is both achievable and impactful, right? Because if you come up with a total dream scenario that no one's ever going to support, you haven't done any good. On the flip side, if you come up with a solution that everyone's like, sure, I'll vote for that, but it's not going to make a difference, then you haven't done any good.
Right.
So what we've put together is a plan that I have yet to hear anyone go, here's why that's not going to work. And the truth is, that's because I put a lot of time into it. I thought a lot about it. I talked to people that I disagree with. I listened to people across the political spectrum. That, to me, by the way, is a habit. You know, at the auditor's office, I put senior leadership team together that included an independent and a Republican who had made campaign contributions to my opponent.
Yeah.
I like being around people that I disagree with. I tend to think, like I said at the start, that we make better solutions when we listen to each other and consider things from other points of view. Mm-hmm. It's not any different than that parable about the three blind men feeling different parts of the elephant, and that's how they figure out that it's an elephant in front of them. So the plan, to be specific, what I want to do is, here's the biggest issue. farmers are signing up for conservation programs every year and getting turned away because politicians won't invest in clean water. In fact, they've been doing the opposite. They defunded water quality monitoring in the state of Iowa, which is absolutely bonkers if you ask me. So the folks who have been in charge, their definition of the water quality problem is that we know that the water is dirty. I think the problem is that the water is dirty. So farmers sign up for these programs to improve conservation and they get turned away. That means that politicians are the problem. Mm-hmm. What we need to be doing is making sure that people aren't getting turned away from conservation programs. We should be investing in cover crops, investing in buffer strips and what have you, all those conservation projects.
Amen. Yep.
But the single two biggest things that we can do to improve water quality is more grazing land and more wetlands. Mankind has come up with a lot of ways to clean water. None of them compare to God's way, which is a wetland.
Yeah.
It is the system here on earth that cleans our water and nothing does it better. What I want to do is a reverse auction. Tell people who are landowners in the state of Iowa, hey, give us your lowest price that you'll take for your wet spot. Then we can hold up the locations that are submitted and the prices that they're asking for up against a map of what we know are the most impactful places to add wetlands and go from there. The reason that this is wonderful is it addresses a second issue at the same time. As our kids are leaving our state, a lot of them say they want to be somewhere with more outdoor opportunities. Mm-hmm. We're 49th in public land,
yeah,
Aaron.
I know.
Yeah, so if we do wetlands, you can fish, you can photograph, you can float, you can fowl
hunt.
You can shoot ducks. I can shoot ducks.
Yeah, we'll shoot ducks together.
I'm game. So if we would do a wetlands restoration, we would have much cleaner water and we'd have more fun outside too.
I like the way it sounds, and it's a big issue. It's not an easy issue. Oversimplify it. It's not an easy issue.
Yeah.
But, and I'm going to go back to this has been, in my opinion, an administration and policy issue for a long time that's got us to where we're at right now.
I agree with that.
And it can be fixed.
It can.
I don't blame, and I've said this many times on there, and I'll continue to say it's not our farmers. Farmers are great. They're the best in the world at what they do. This is a policy and an administration issue.
And it's a political will issue. Yeah. You know, you got to have the willingness to actually do it. And again, I go back to this is one of the craziest pieces about this to me. 63% of us voted for IWIL in 2010, the Iowa Water and Land Legacy, saying, hey, let's do a 3/8 of an inch or 3/8 of an inch. I'm thinking about rain. 3/8 of a cent.
We had some. Yeah.
sales tax in order to fund water quality and outdoor recreation opportunities. And they haven't funded it, even though 63% of Iowans voted for it. My boys are 9 and 12 now, mm-hmm. growing up in Iowa, drinking Iowa water. We're 10 years away from them picking where they live in the world. I want them to be here. And if we had funded what 63% of Iowans said they wanted to do, this wouldn't be nearly the issue that it is today.
All right. Maddie, you'll tell us when we need to leave. Okay. Okay, so here's what I want to get to. I'm going to change subjects on that. This is one that is fresh on my mind. I just spoke with the superintendent of the Clarinda schools. Most of the area districts, in fact, all the area districts we talk about every morning. You can tune in some when we get into the school here and listen to our superintendents about what they think about what's going on.
That's great.
One of the things that frustrates me, and I'm a hawk on taxes, so excuse me on that. I think our taxes need to be low. Mm-hmm. I want low taxes.
Please.
At the same time, I see that we have a $1 billion deficit, which bothers me.
Yep.
I see that my superintendents that I talk to, they'll have $1 million in a fund that they can't choose to spend because it's designated for something else.
Correct.
I see my property taxes that I feel like I pay my fair share of property taxes. I don't feel like I need to pay any more. I feel like it's just not being distributed and used properly. I think the whole system, Rob, needs to be fixed. It's not clear.
Yep.
I can't tell you, and I try to keep up with it. I can't tell you exactly the funding method and the formula, and it's so frustrating. It gets to
it's
public education. It gets to our rural hospitals. It gets to our municipalities. What do we do?
Well, I like
not
the
idea.
Not an
easy question in 5 minutes, by
no,
the way.
No, but I can give you a few pieces. I mean, number one, my goodness, we've been giving away the farm for data centers. They should be paying every penny of taxes, and if they do, then that would make our taxes lower. Right now, they don't have to pay sales tax on electricity. I don't know if you heard, Aaron, but they kind of use a lot of electricity.
They lose a bunch of electricity. So I need to tell you about a micro data center that we have here coming. We'll talk about that in a minute.
So they should be paying their way. That would help. I think that we should give our local leaders, our school boards, and our local school districts more leeway in their school funding.
Amen.
They have so many different silos, and like you said, you can't use this for that, and you can't use that for this. And it's kind of like, well, we got this big problem. We got that pile of money over there, but that's not a problem for us. We'd love to be able to use it for that. And so why should Des Moines tell Denison and Decorah how they can spend their money? That doesn't make sense to me. So we should give them some more freedom to do that. That'll allow a little bit more creativity, a little bit more local problem solving, where every community is different. And so what's going to work in Red Oak, you know, isn't going to be the same thing as what's going to work in Northeast Iowa. It's just different communities.
Mm-hmm.
So we ought to change that. I also think we ought to be putting the income limit back on the school vouchers program. The vast majority of that money right now is going to people who make so much money that they don't make a single spending decision a year, and they write that check for private school tuition, and they don't even think about that money because that's how much they've got. Good for them, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I got no problem with them sending their kids.
I wish there were a lot of those schools. People that moved to Montgomery County.
And that's the other thing. I mean, this is all tax dollars from across the state going to the wealthiest people in Des Moines, in Iowa City, in Cedar Rapids, in Scott County, and Sioux County. But we're paying people to do a thing that they would be doing for free, and they're not people who need help in doing it. So that's a couple hundred million dollars right there every single year.
Yeah.
So there's a number of things that we can do here to do a better job of supporting public schools, but that's a handful of them. And I know we're short on time, and you might have more questions for me.
I have lots more questions for you. I want an hour, Maddie. Next time we're doing this, I want an hour. I want it on the record. You do have other places to get to.
Well,
and you have
do we have to go?
We have a little time?
Yeah, hit me.
Okay. So the schools and the property tax issue is one that just really gets me going.
Yeah, yeah.
Our farmers is one. Our farm economy, when it costs, I said this to Mr. Previ, $11.50 to grow a bushel of corn, and I can sell it for $11.30, we have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we are in a declining area. We have fewer people. The peak population in Montgomery County was in 1917.
Wow.
We had 17,000 people in the county.
Wow.
Now we have 10.
Wow.
Red Oak, where we're at right now, peak population was 1985 or 86 with 6,700 people. We have about 5,400 people now.
Yeah.
All of those people are going to Des Moines, or they're going across the river to Nebraska.
Yep.
Hey, I like our friends from Nebraska.
I mean, they're okay.
But you know what? I would rather our people here. I want them coming this way.
Yep.
So what do we do to reverse that?
A couple of things. Number one, we did this in the state auditor's office. I'll do it statewide. If you got a job working for the state of Iowa that can be done from somewhere else in Iowa other than Des Moines, mm-hmm. then you can take that job there and live there. We had a handful of folks in our office leave the Des Moines metro area because in my first term I said, hey, we already audit in all 99 counties just about every year. And so if you want to live in Southwest Iowa, in fact, we got an employee down here. We assigned them more to Southwest Iowa audits. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to come to Des Moines to do state audits now and then, but they're contributing, you know, locally down here. That's Nikki down here. They're a part of the community down here. So we can do that with a whole lot more state jobs. That helps a little bit. I also want to move economic development money away from massive handouts to a handful of corporations where we cross our fingers and hope they keep jobs here for a little while. And I want to go back to what we used to do with Vision Iowa, where we're doing community improvement grants. So, you know, in my hometown in Decorah, where I grew up, there's Trout Run Trail. It's a really cool, 11-mile trail around town with access for fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings in a lot of people from the area for tourism. But it also is just a fun thing to do if you live in town.
Yeah.
And so when you do Vision Iowa community improvement grants, the people who already live in Red Oak have one more thing that they can do, which just adds a little bit more gravity here, keeping people here. You want to have a few options for your kids. You don't have to have everything that you've got in Minneapolis or Omaha or Des Moines.
Right.
But a few more things to do will go a long way. And if we did that, it would also help anchor small businesses too.
People that live here don't want to live in Minneapolis or Des Moines or Omaha.
Amen.
Or Kansas City.
Yeah. What I always say is, you know, I think we lose people in Iowa mostly for three reasons. One, we can't do anything about. Some people say, I want to live in a big city. Well, if that's the case, adios.
Yeah.
You know, we hope you come back once you see what you get up there.
Yeah.
But then the other two are, we lose people for outdoor recreation opportunities. We're 49th in public land. And they say, I want to go to Colorado. They're going up to Minnesota or Wisconsin, but not into the big cities. They just want to be somewhere closer to cleaner water.
Yeah.
And then the other one is, you know, after 10 years of one-party control, the political climate. I had a guy that I go to Rotary with whose daughter just graduated from Iowa Medical School. She wants to be a family practice doc, you know, the kind of person that you hope comes to town and you know him for 40 years, right?
Yeah.
And both of them were shocked at how few of their classmates wanted to do just family medicine in Iowa because of the political climate. And I think that's one of the big things about this race is if I win, we're going to have what is an Iowa tradition divided government. Me working with a Republican legislature means that every bill that gets passed, every budget that gets passed is going to have bipartisan support.
That's this is where I was going next.
Yeah.
This is, you don't know this. One of my biggest frustrations, I've expressed it on air many times.
Yeah.
We hear what this is going to happen. This is our promise. This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
This is going to take place. And elections occur and nothing happens.
Yeah.
It frustrates me. We just hit $40 trillion in debt nationally.
It's insane. Yeah.
For the record.
We were at...
$40
trillion. We were at 30% of GDP in 2001.
Yep.
We're now approaching 100% of GDP in debt.
Exactly.
20 years.
So my point, and we've been talking about it since Reagan. He kind of blew the debt up. I love Ronald Reagan, by the way. You can see that I have a Reagan Bush sticker up there on the door. I'm looking for a sand sticker, but I can't find it,
we're
Patty.
We're going to get you one.
Anyway.
We'll put one in the mail.
So, but my point being, how do you get it done?
Yeah.
How do you do it?
Well, here's, I guess, what I say at the end of the day. This is one of the reasons that we have centered political reform, putting checks and balances around politicians in this campaign. We want to have term limits, but not just term limits, age limits. Yes, cognitive tests. You ought to pass a civics test before you even get on the ballot. I want mandatory public town halls for everyone in statewide or federal office or at the legislature where you got to tell people 2 weeks in advance, this day, this time, I'm going to let everybody in and we're going to take questions from whoever shows up, not pre-screened, real public town halls. Mm-hmm. And I want to take away the special legal privileges that let the two private clubs in this state, the Democratic and Republican parties, use our tax dollars to run elections where independent voters are excluded. I mean, how in America can it be that you have to join a private club to exercise your constitutional right to vote in an election that your tax dollars pay for? So if we change these things, if we build a movement around this stuff, all of a sudden, we're going to see politicians who spend more of their time solving our problems and less time serving insiders and special interest groups because we're cutting off those avenues for them to go do the things that are temptations to them. We need them. It's the Lord's Prayer, right? Lead us not into temptation. Mm-hmm. We want to take that line and apply it to politicians. Make it hard for them to do good.
Delivers from evil. They're the politicians.
Yes,
right?
yes.
All right.
Just make sure that people in positions of power and trust are using it the way they're supposed to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You have to go. All right. Alrighty. So you have busy. You have to go. I will say this, and you know this. We have some very deep differences on some of our opinions.
Yes.
You make
a
lot of sense on a lot of issues.
Yes.
We have some deep differences. And maybe when you come back for an hour, Maddie, we'll talk about those deep differences next time.
I'm game.
All right. Nice to see you.
Yeah, you're good
busy.
To see you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks, Aaron.
Very much.
You betcha.
You know what? October 1st is coming. You got your bow out? Have you been shooting?
I haven't touched it
once. Oh, no. Oh, no. Make it a great day. Thank
you
much.
You too.
It's high school football time here on Country Sunshine Radio as the Red Oak Tigers welcome the Riverside Bulldogs to town for a Week 0 matchup. Our pregame on Friday, August 21st, will start at 6:30 p.m. with a 7 p.m. kickoff at Russ Benda Field. You can tune in to KCSI 95.3 FM or listen on the app from anywhere. You can also watch the game, stream the game from KCSIFM.com or on the KCSI Radio YouTube channel where there's no fee to watch or subscribe. Our Friday night high school football presented by Russell Electric, State Farm Insurance, Dave Carbaugh, Subway in Red Oak, Shenandoah, Clarinda, and Glenwood, Davis Taylor Insurance, Houghton State Bank, Pizza Ranch of Red Oak, Mark Jackson's Downtown Red Oak Hardware Hank and Hallmark Gold Crown Store, Southwest Iowa Tire and Service, Ruby Realty and Rentals, Montgomery County Memorial Hospital and Clinics, Fairway Meat and Grocery in Red Oak, and our Friday night streaming on KCSI 95.3 FM and the KCSI Radio YouTube channel where there's no fee to watch, brought to you by Milestone Financial Group Incorporated, The Green Tree Company, and SWIC. Remember to tune in Saturdays this fall to KCSI or watch on Facebook for our Saturday tailgate show with Matt, Aaron, Bill, and Derek. It's time for Friday Night Football here in Sunshine Country with a Week 0 game. Red Oak welcomes the Riverside Bulldogs to town. Our pregame on Friday starts at 6:30 with a 7 p.m. kickoff.
This Brownfield Market Report on KCSI KOAK brought to you by Red Oak Glass and Awning. Red Oak Glass is your full-service custom glass, window, plexiglass, and awning headquarters. Red Oak Glass, serving all of southwest Iowa and northwest Missouri. And now, a look at the markets.
Soybeans, corn, and hogs are higher, cattle are lower. I'm John Perkins with a Brownfield Market Update. Plant your potential and harvest your reality with Stein. Turn potential into reality by planting the best genetics from Stein and leveraging the extensive knowledge of their agronomic experts. Soybeans and corn are higher, watching major private crop tour yield numbers roll in. September beans are 21 and a quarter higher at 1222. November's up 20 and a quarter to 1237. September corn, 7.5 higher at 470 and three quarters. December's up 7.5 at 495 and a half. Cattle are lower, with feeders leading the way down on that higher move in corn. October lives, 90 lower at 218.02. December's down 115 at 218.05. September feeders are 272 lower at 330.62. And on short covering, October hogs are up 77 at 81.50. December's 50 higher at 71.42. John Perkins, Brownfield.
Want to boost the look and comfort of your home or business? Red Oak Glass and Awning has you covered. Add style, shade, and function with high-quality custom awnings built to stand up to the elements and made to last for years. Perfect for homes, storefronts, patios, and commercial spaces, and professional craftsmanship and dependable local service you can trust. Upgrade your space and make it stand out with Red Oak Glass and Awning in Red Oak. Call 712-623-5481 today and get covered in style.
Thank Red Oak Glass and Awning for bringing you this Brownfield Market Report on KCSI KOAK. Red Oak Glass is here for all your glass, awning, and window needs. Need plexiglass? They've got it. Call Red Oak Glass and Awning 712-623-5481. Right now, it's 76 degrees.
My morning has two speeds. It starts fast. Then it relaxes when I arrive at McDonald's and order a sausage McMuffin with egg extra value meal for just $5. Because that's all I need to start my day off right. A tasty, warm sausage McMuffin with egg, crispy golden hash browns, and a small premium roast coffee. And with a breakfast this good for just $5, I feel relaxed for the rest of the day. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Prices and participation may vary. Promotional pricing may be lower than meal pricing.
If your internet bill jump scares you, that's BS or total bill shock. You deserve better. Get Mediacom fiber-powered 300 meg internet for $30 a month, locked in for 2 full years. No big surprises, no bill shock. That's Mediacom fiber-powered 300 meg internet for $30 a month, locked in for 2 years. Call 844-4FASTER today. Offer available to new customers only. Taxes and one-time installation and activation fees apply.
The current time is 10:44.
For the most complete insurance coverage, trust United Group Insurance. For the most complete weather coverage, trust KCSI KOAK. It's time to take a look at your country sunshine.